Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dale, and this is Truck Off, Prosperity Sabbatarian Congregation, 99 of South Carolina, Libertyville, Texas. Today is November 15, 2016, or 16, 2020. We start our first service today with a song entitled The Whispering Hope. Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson unheard, hope with a gentle persuasion, with a comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait until the tempest is done. Hope for the sunshine tomorrow, after the summer is gone. Whispering hope, oh how welcome the voice, making my heart its sorrow rejoice. If in the dusk of the twilight dim be the region afar, will not the deepening's darkness brighten the glimmering star? Then when the night is upon us, why should the heart sink away? When the dark midnight is over, watch for the breaking of day. Whispering hope, oh, how welcome the voice, making my heart its sorrow rejoice. Hope with an anchor so steadfast, friends that are there for the soul. Whether the master has entered, robbing every of its gold. Come then, oh come that fruition, come to my sad weary heart. Come, O the blessed hope of glory, ever, oh, never depart. Whispering hope, oh, welcome the voice, making my heart in his song. Cyrus the Great, part two. We're going to go to Ezra, chapter one. We're going to start our reading there. It says, verse one, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and put it also in writing saying, this is Cyrus, king of Persia, Yahweh Elohim of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His Elohim be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build a house of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. He is the Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of Yahweh that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit Yahweh had raised, to go up to build the house of Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with the vessels of silver, and with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Also Sarus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of Yahweh, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridat, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410 and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Okay, that ends chapter 1. And let's go now to chapter 3 of Ezra. And let's read verse 7. It says, they gave money also unto the masons, and to the carpenters, and meat and drink, and all unto them of Zidon, and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now we go to Ezra 4:3. It says, but Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our Elohim, but we ourselves together will build unto the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, as king of Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. And verse 5, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius. So you're going to have counselors that's going to be hired also against Donald Trump, as antipical Cyrus, until the reign of his successor, Darius, antipical Darius. Okay, Ezra 5:13. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus, made a decree to build this house of Yahweh. Ezra 5:14. And the vessels also of the gold and silver and of the house of Yahweh, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor. Verse 17 of Ezra 5. Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made of the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus, the king, to build this house of Yahweh at Jerusalem, and that the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. Ezra chapter 6, verse 3. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus, the king made a decree concerning the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem. Let the house be built, the place where they offered sacrifice, and let the foundation thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits. Ezra 6:14. And the elders of the Jews built it, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they built it and finished it according to the commandment of the Yahweh of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes king of Persia. Isaiah 44:28. That said to Cyrus, He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Now this is a prophecy is for this very moment. Isaiah made the prophecy, and it is made its fulfillment, and is now in process of doing what it was prophesied to do. So Jerusalem will be cleaned out. It will be rebuilt according to the type. In our day, Isaiah 45:1, thus saith Yahweh to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations, before him I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Okay, now, that Isaiah is a very, very important chapter. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. I will go before thee, just talking about Cyrus, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places. Now, Cyrus right now, Donald Trump is a very rich man. And apparently Yahweh has already given Donald Trump a lot of this hidden treasure of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. That thou mayest know that I, the Yahweh, which called thee by thy name, am the Elohim of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. There is no Elohim beside me. In other words, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. Now, what does it mean, from the west? Apparently, Yahweh brought Cyrus from the west, because Donald Trump is in the west. He's east of Jerusalem, and he is definitely raised up here in the west. Isaiah 45:7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Yahweh, do all these things. So, George Soros, a financier, a billionaire, Yahweh created him, and he's an evil man, and he's financing terrorism, and here in America, as a result of trying to overthrow Cyrus, and typical Cyrus, Donald Trump, before he even takes office. It was noticed last night, I noticed on another article, that Donald Trump, January the 20th, when he takes office, he will be 70 years old. He will be 7 months and 7 days old when he takes office January the 20th, 2017. So, according to World Time, and so there you have 4/7. His the year of his age, and the 7th month of his age, and the 7th day of the 7th month of his age, and now he's going to take his office according to the world time in 2017. All right. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. This is Isaiah 45:8. And let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Yahweh, have created it. Now, since Donald Trump has won the election, nations are following suit. They said populism has taken over the world. Among the nations, so it's going like the domino effect. Just one right after the other is rising up. And this is going to fulfill Isaiah 61, where it says that in Isaiah 61, I'm going to read it to you, verse 11, "For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." Now, what I just read to you there about Isaiah 45:8, "Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Yahweh, have created it." That's the same thing as Isaiah 61:11, where it says, "For as the earth bringeth forth her bud," okay, it says, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Yahweh Elohim will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Okay, Isaiah 45:9, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker, let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hand? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? This saith Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my son, and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me." That's Isaiah 45:11. Verse 12, "I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded." Verse 13, "I have raised him up," this Cyrus, the antithetical Cyrus, Donald Trump, "in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Yahweh of hosts." He don't need to charge those captives for setting them free. He always said he'd give them secret places of the riches of this earth. He didn't give it to him. Isaiah 45:40. "Thus saith Yahweh, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and other Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, Surely Yahweh is in thee, and there is none else. There is no Elohim." Isaiah 45:15. Verily thou art a Yahweh that hideth thyself, O Yahweh of Israel, the Savior. Okay, now we know Yahshua, his son, is designated as a Savior, so let's read that again. Verily thou art a Savior that hideth thyself, O King of Israel, the Savior, Yahshua. Isaiah 45:16, they shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Yahweh that created the heavens, Elohim himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. And what's the man of sin, the evil man, trying to do? He's trying to destroy all human life off the face of the earth, down to maybe 500 million. And there's around 9 billion people in the earth today. And here there are evil that are trying to destroy not only human life, but animal life and everything else off the earth. Isaiah 45:19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. So in 144,000, see, the seed of Jacob is in the house of Israel today, the spiritual house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he says, seek me in vain. I, Yahweh, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nation. They have no knowledge, they set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Yahweh, and there is no Elohim else beside me? A just Elohim and a Savior, there is none beside me. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, and righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say to Yahweh, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. So all those that are incensed against Donald Trump are going to be ashamed, every one of them. Isaiah 45:25. In the Yahweh shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now in Daniel 1:21, it says, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel 6:28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. So it looks like Daniel, then, vision is going to be opened up right here pretty well during Cyrus's reign as Donald Trump, and typical Cyrus. Okay. It says in Daniel 10:1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So, apparently Donald Trump is going to be there in his third year and fourth year of his first term. That ends our verses, scriptures on Daniel. I mean, there in Daniel 6:10-1. That was the last one that records Cyrus's name. Now we're going to go to Wikipedia that we find on our internet. We're going to go to it, and we're going to read about what they say about the story of Donald Trump, antitypical Cyrus. it says that Cyrus the Great in the Bible. So it says Cyrus the Great, 600 to 576 to 530 B.C., figures in the Hebrew Bible as the patron and deliverer of the Jews. He is mentioned 23 times by name and alluded to several times more. From these statements, it appears that Cyrus the Great, king of Persia, was a monarch under whom the Babylonian captivity ended, for according unto the Bible, in the first year of his reign, he was prompted by Elohim to make a decree that the temple in Jerusalem should be rebuilt, and that such Jews as cheered to might return to their land for the purpose. Moreover, he showed his interest in the project by sending back with them the sacred vessel which had been taken from the first temple, and a considerable sum of money with which to buy building materials. The existence of the decree has been challenged. Cyrus in Babylon and the Jewish connection. Cyrus the Great is unconditionally praised in the Jewish sources. It is likely that after the Persian conquest of Babylon, Cyrus had commenced his relationship with the Jewish leaders in exile, and that he later was considered as a Messiah sent by the Yahweh. The Hebrew Bible states that Cyrus issued the decree of liberation to the Jews. Cyrus's edict for the rebuilding of the Temple in Jerusalem marked a great epoch in the history of the Jewish people. According to Ezra 4:1-6, the enemies of Judah and Benjamin asked to help build the temple, and when this was denied, hired counselors to frustrate the people of Judah from completing the rebuilding. Throughout the reign of Cyrus, Ahasuerus, and this Ahasuerus, king of Ahasuerus of Persia, they're dealing with, I think, Queen Esther, and Artaxerxes, it says, it's called Xerxes, Cyrus Xerxes. Okay, Ahasuerus is another name they called him, and Artaxerxes until the reign of Darius II. The work recommended under the exhortations of the prophet, and when the authorities asked the Jews what right they had to build a temple, they referred to the decree of Cyrus. Darius II, who was then reigning, caused a search for this alleged decree to be made, and it was found in the archives of the Ecbatana, whereupon Darius reaffirmed the decree, and the work proceeded to its triumphant close. So it's going to triumph here in the rebuilding these last days. A chronicle drawn up just after the conquest of Babylon by Cyrus gives the history of the reign of Nabonidus, the last king of Babylon, and of the fall of the Babylonian Empire in 538 B.C., and was a revolt in southern Babylonia while the army of Cyrus entered the country from the north. In June, the Babylonian army was completely defeated at Opus, and immediately afterwards Sippara opened his gates to the conqueror Gobias, as Egbanu, the governor of Media, was then sent to Babylon, which surrendered without fighting, and the daily services in the temples continued without a break. In October, Cyrus himself arrived and proclaimed a general amnesty, which was communicated by Gobias to all the province of Babylon, of which he had been made governor. Meanwhile, Nabonidus, who had concealed himself, was captured, but treated honorably, and when his wife died, Cambyses II, the son of Cyrus, conducted the funeral. Cyrus now assumed the title of the King of Babylon, claimed to be the descendant of the ancient kings, and made rich offerings to the temples. At the same time, he allowed the foreign populations who had been deported under Babylon to return unto their old homes, carrying with them the images of their gods. Among these populations were the Jews, who, as they had no images, took with them the sacred vessels of the temple. Speculation abounds as to the reason for Cyrus' release of the Jews from Babylon, one argument being that Cyrus was a follower of the Zoroaster, the monotheistic prophet, Zoroastrianism, played a dominant religious role in Persia throughout its history until the Islamic conquest. As such, he would have felt a kindred spirit with the monotheistic Jews. Another possibility is the magnanimous respect he is ascribed to have evinced for the diverse beliefs and customs of the peoples with his extended kingdom. As one example, upon the conquest of Babylon itself, it is recorded that he paid homage at the temple of the Babylonian god Marduk, thereby gaining the support of the Babylonian people and minimizing further bloodshed, while Jewish tradition, as described previously in Ezra 1:1-8, indicates the Yahweh inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation. In the Cyrus Cylinder, he pays homage to Marduk. This Babylonian document has been interpreted as referring to the return to their homelands of several displaced cultural groups, one of which could have been the Jews. From Babylon to Assur and from Susa, Agadi, Esnuna, Zambar, Me-Eternu, Dur, as far as the region of Gutim, the sacred centers on the other side of the Tigris, whose sanctuaries had been abandoned for a long time. I returned the images of the gods who had resided there to their places, and I let them dwell in eternal abodes. I gathered all their inhabitants and returned them to their dwellings. In addition, at the command of Marduk, the great lord, I settled in their habitations in pleasing abodes the gods of Sumer and Akkad, whom Nabonidus, to the anger of the lord of the gods, and had brought into Babylon line of 30-33. Okay. However, it has been argued that it must be referring to people associated to the images cult instead of deportees. Diana Elderman has pointed at the serious chronological difficulty that arises when we accept that the Jews returned during the reign of Cyrus. The term used by the author of Deuterium Isaiah are reminiscent of certain passages in the Cyrus Cylinder. Traditionally, these passages in Isaiah were believed to predate the rule of Cyrus by about 100 years. However, most modern scholars date Isaiah 40-55, often referred to as Deuterium Isaiah, toward the end of the Babylonian exile by 36 B.C., whereas Isaiah 139 referred to it as the Proto-Isaiah, saw the destruction of Israel as imminent and the restoration in the future. Deuterium Isaiah speaks of the destruction of the past, Isaiah 42:24-25, and the restoration as imminent, Isaiah 42:1-9. Notice, for example, the change in the temporal perspective from Isaiah 39:6-7, where the Babylonian captivity is cast far in the future, to Isaiah 43:14, where the Israelites are spoken of as already in Babylon, according to scholar R.N. Robre, the author of the Deuterial Isaiah, chapters 40-55, was mistaken, for he thought that Cyrus would destroy Babylon, but he did not. Cyrus made it more splendid than ever, but he did allow the Jewish exile to return home, though not in the triumphant manner which Deuterial Isaiah expected. Who roused from the east him that victory hails at every step? Who presents him with nations, subdues kings to him? His sword makes dust of them, and his bow scatters them like straw. He pursues them, advances unhindered, his feet scarcely touching the road. Who is the author of this deed, if not he who caused the generation from the beginning? I, the Yahweh, who am the first and shall be with the last, Isaiah 41:2-4. Then the alliance between Cyrus and Yahweh is made explicit. Thus saith Yahweh unto his anointed, to Cyrus, whom he had taken by his right hand to subdue nations before him, and stripped the loins of kings, to force gateways before him, that their gates be closed no more. I will go before you, leveling the heights. I will scatter the bronze gateways, smash the iron bars. I will give you the hidden treasures, the secret hoards, that you may know that I am the Yahweh, Isaiah 45:1-3. Among the classical Jewish sources besides the Bible, Josephus, the 1st century A.D., mentions that Cyrus freed the Jews from captivity and helped rebuild the temple. He also wrote to the rulers and governors that they should contribute to the rebuilding of the temple and assisted them in rebuilding the temple. A letter from Cyrus to the Jews is described by Josephus. I have given leave to as many of the Jews that dwell in my country as pleased to return to their own country and to rebuild their city and to build the temple of Yahweh at Jerusalem on the same place where it was before. I have already sent my treasurer Mithridate and Zerubbabel, the governor of the Jews, that they may lay the foundations of the temple and may build it 60 cubits high and of the same latitude, making 3 edifices of polished stones and 1 of the wood of the country, and the same order extends to the altar whereon they offer sacrifices unto Yahweh. I require also that the expenses for these things may be given out of my revenues. And moreover, I have also sent the vessels which King Nebuchadnezzar pillaged out of the temple, and have given them to Mithridates, the treasurer, and to Zerubbabel, the governor of the Jews, that they may have them carried to Jerusalem, and may restore them to the temple of Yahweh. Now the number is as follows: 50 charges of gold, 500 of silver, 40 terraplane cups of gold, and 500 of silver, 50 basins of gold and 500 of silver, 30 vessels for pouring the drink offerings, and 300 of silver, 30 vials of gold, and 2,400 of silver, with 1,000 other large vessels. Number 3, I permit them to have the same honor which they were used to have from their forefathers, as also for their small cattle and for wine and oil, 205,000, and 500 dromane, and for wheat flour, 20,500 artabe, and I give order that these expenses shall be given them out of the tributes due from Samaria. The priest shall also offer these sacrifices according to the laws of Moses in Jerusalem, and when they offer them, they shall pray to Yahweh for the preservation of the king and of his family, and that the kingdom of Persia may continue. But my will is that those who disobey these injunctions and make them void shall be hung upon a cross and their substance brought into the king's treasury. Now I want to read to you number 12 is got on this Wikipedia here. It says, the works of Flavius Josephus, translated by William Winston, how Cyrus, king of the Persians, delivered the Jews out of Babylon and suffered them to return unto their own country and to build their temple, for which work he gave them money. Number one. In the first reign, year of the reign of Cyrus, which was the 70th, from the day that our people were removed out of their own land, and the Babylon, meaning that they were at the end of their 70-year captivity, Yahweh commiserated the captivity and calamity of these poor people, according as he had foretold to them by Jeremiah the prophet, before the destruction of the city, that after they had served Nebuchadnezzar and his posterity, and after they had undergone that servitude 70 years, he would restore them again to the land of their fathers, and they should build their temple. Isn't it strange that Donald Trump, the antitypical Cyrus, has raised up to deliver the antitypical Jews again? He will be 70 years old, 7 months and 7 days old when he takes office in January the 20th of 2017. Isn't this amazing? And these things Yahweh did afford them, for he stirred up the mind of Cyrus and made him write this throughout all Asia. Thus said Cyrus the king, since Yahweh Almighty hath appointed me to be king of the habitable earth, I believe that he is that Elohim which the nation of the Israelites worship. For indeed he foretold by name by the prophet that I should build him a house at Jerusalem in the country of Judea. Number two, this was known to Cyrus by his reading the book which Isaiah left behind him of his prophecy. For this prophet said that Yahweh had spoken thus to him in a secret vision. My will is that Cyrus, whom I have appointed to be king over many and great nations, send back my people to their own land and build my temple. This is foretold by Isaiah 140 years before the temple was demolished. Accordingly, when Cyrus read this and admired the divine power and earnest desire and ambition seized upon him to fulfill what was so written. So he called for the most eminent Jews that were in Babylon and said unto them that he gave them leave to go back to their own country and to rebuild their city Jerusalem, and number two, and the temple of the Elohim, for that would be their assistant, and that he would write to the rulers and governors that were in the neighborhood of their country of Judea, that they should contribute to them gold and silver for the building of the temple, and besides that, beasts for their sacrifices. Number three, when Cyrus had said this to the Israelites, the rulers of the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, with the Levites and priests, went in haste to Jerusalem. Yet did many of them stay at Babylon, as not willing to leave their possession, and when they were come thither, all the king's friends assisted them, and brought in for the building of the temple some gold, and some silver, and some a great many cattle and horses. So they performed their vows to Yahweh, and offered the sacrifices that had been a custom of old time. I mean this, upon the rebuilding of the city and the revival of the ancient practices relating unto their worship. Cyrus also sent back to them the vessels of Yahweh, which King Nebuchadnezzar had pillaged out of the temple and had carried to Babylon. So he committed these things to the Mithridates, the treasurer, to be sent away and in order to give them unto Sambasar, that he might keep them till the temple was built. And when it was finished, he might deliver them to the priests and rulers of the multitude, in order to be restored to the temple. Cyrus also sent an epistle to the governors that were in Syria, the contents whereof here follow King Cyrus to Sisnins and the Satarbuzans as sendeth greetings. I have given leave to as many of the Jews that dwell in my country as please to return to their own country and rebuild their city and to build the temple of Yahweh at Jerusalem on the same place where it was before. I have also sent my treasurer Mithridates and Zerubbabel, the governor of the Jews, that they may lay the foundations of the temple and may build it 60 cubits high and of the same latitude, making three edifices of polished stone and one of the wood of the country. And the same order extends to the altar whereupon they offer sacrifice unto Yahweh. I require also that the expenses for these things be given out of my revenues. Moreover, I have also sent the vessels which King Nebuchadnezzar paid. Okay, I've already read that. So it says that, and for it says, these expenses shall be given them out of the tribute due from Samaria. The priests shall also offer these sacrifices according to the laws of Moses and Jerusalem, and when they offer them, they shall pray to Yahweh for the preservation of the king and of his family, and that the kingdom of Persia may continue. But my will is that those who disobey these injunctions and make them void shall be hung upon a cross, and their substance brought into the king's treasury. And such was the import of this epistle, that the number of those that came out of captivity unto Jerusalem were, they say 42,000 here, but I know that there's about 50,000 that returned with Zerubbabel and the leaders of Judah. Okay, that ends that reading. Okay, let's read another clip on Cyrus the Great from Wikipedia. This is Cyrus number 2 of Persia, Old Persian, New Persian Hebrew, 600 or 576 to 530 BC, commonly known as Cyrus the Great and also called Cyrus the Elder by the Greeks, and was the founder of the Achaemenid Empire. Under his rule, the empire embraced all the previous civilized states of the ancient Near East, expanded vastly, and eventually conquered most of Southwest Asia and much of the Central Asia and the Caucasus, from the Mediterranean Sea and Hellespont in the west to the Hindus River in the east. Cyrus the Great created the largest empire the world had yet seen. Under his successors, the empire eventually stretched at its maximum extent from parts of the Balkans, Bulgaria, Pannonia, and Thrace Macedonia, and Eastern Europe proper in the west to the Indus Valley in the east. His regal titles is in full were the Great King, King of the Persians, King of the Anshan, and King of Media, King of Babylon, King of Sumer and Akkad, and King of the Four Corners of the World. Now, this is Donald Trump. He's the antitype of what I'm reading to you about the typical King Cyrus the Great. Let's continue. For the reign of Cyrus the Great lasted about 29 and 31 years. Cyrus built his empire by conquering first the Median Empire, then the Lydian Empire, and eventually the Neo-Babylonian Empire. Either before or after Babylon, he led an expedition into Central Asia, which resulted in major campaigns that were described as having brought into subjection every nation without exception. Cyrus did not venture into Egypt, as he himself died in battle, fighting the Massagete along the Darya in December of 530 B.C. He was succeeded by his son Chambyses II, who managed to add to the empire by conquering Egypt, Nubia, and Cyrenaica during his short rule. Cyrus the Great respected the customs and religions of the lands he conquered. This became a very successful model for the centralized administration in establishing a government working to the advantage and profit of his subjects. In fact, the administration of the empire through satraps and the vital principle of forming a government at Pasargadae, where the works of Cyrus, what is sometimes referred to as the Edict of Restoration, actually two edicts, described in the Bible as being made by Cyrus the Great, left a lasting legacy on the Jewish religion, where because of his policies in Babylonia, he is referred to by the Jewish Bible as Messiah, his anointed one. Isaiah 45:1, and is the only non-Jew to be called so. So said the Yahweh unto his anointed one, to Cyrus, Isaiah 45:1-7. Cyrus the Great is also well recognized for his achievements in human rights, politics, and military strategy, as well as his influence on both Eastern and Western civilization. Having originated from Persia, roughly corresponding to the modern Iranian province of Fars, Cyrus has played a crucial role in defining the national identity of modern Iran. Cyrus, and indeed the Achaemenid influence in the ancient world, also extended as far as Athens, where many Athenians adopted aspects of the Achaemenid Persian culture as their own. In a reciprocal culture exchange in the 1970s, the Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, identified his famous proclamation inscribed onto Cyrus' cylinder as the oldest known declaration of human rights, and the cylinder has since been popularized as such. This view has been criticized by some historians as a misunderstanding of the cylinder generic nature as a traditional statement that new monarchs make at the beginning of their reign. Etymology. It says, the name Cyrus is Latinized from a form derived from the Greek kouros, itself from the Old Persian, Kuros. The name and its meaning has been recorded in ancient inscriptions in different languages. The ancient Greek historians Cetacius and Plutarch know that Cyrus was named from Kuros, the sun, a concept which has been interpreted as meaning like the sun. Kurvash, by noting in relation to the Persian noun for sun, kor, while using vash as a suffix of lightness. This may also point to a fascinating relationship to the mythological first king of Persia, Jamshid, whose name also incorporates the element sun, shid, in parentheses. Carl Hoffman has suggested a translation based on the meaning of the Indo-European root to humiliate, and accordingly, Cyrus means humiliator of the enemy in verbal context. In the Persian language, and especially in Iran, Cyrus' name is spelled, and they got it spelled out here, I can't spell it to you. In the Bible, he is known as Koresh, Hebrew. All right, dynastic history. Uh, The Persian dominion and kingdom in the Iranian plateau started by an extension of the Achaemenid dynasty, who expanded their early domination possibly from the 9th century B.C. onward. The Epaminondas, founder of this dynasty, was Achaemenes, from Old Persian Haxamanus. Achaemenes are descendants of the Achaemenes, as Darius the Great, the 9th king of the dynasty, traces his genealogy to him and declares, for this reason we are called Achaemenids. Achaemenes built the state of Parshumanash, or P-A-R-S-U-M-A-S-H, Parshumash, in the southwest of Iran, and was succeeded by Ktesippas, who took the title of king of Anshan. After seizing Anshan city and enlarging his kingdom further to include Pars proper, ancient documents mention that Ktesippas had a son called Cyrus I, who also succeeded his father as king of Anshan. Cyrus I had a full brother whose name is recorded as Ariamenes. Ariamenes. In 600 B.C., Cyrus I succeeded by his son Cambyses I, who reigned until 559 B.C. Cyrus the Great was the son of Cambyses number one, who named his son after his father Cyrus I. There are several inscriptions of Cyrus the Great and later kings that refer to Cambyses. I as the great king and king of Anshan. Among these are some passages in the Cyrus Cylinder where Cyrus calls himself son of Cambyses, great king, king of Anshan. Another inscription from CMs mentions Cambyses, I as mighty king and an Achaemenian, which according to the Book of Scholarly Opinion was engraved under Darius and considered as a later forgery by Darius. However, Cambyses number II's maternal grandfather, Phamaspes, P-H-A-M-A-S-T-E-S, is named by Herodias as an Achaemenian too. Okay. N. Afon's accounts in the Cyclopedia further names Cambyses' wife as Mandane and mentions Cambyses as king of Iran, ancient Persia. These agree with Osiris' own inscription as Ashan and Parsha, where different names of the same land, these also agree with the other non-Iranian accounts, except at one point from Herodotus, stating that Cambyses was not a king but a Persian of good family. However, in some other passages, Herodotus' account is wrong also on the name of the son of Chippish, which he mentions as Cambyses, but according to modern scholars, should be Cyrus. The traditional view based on archaeological research and the genealogy given in the Babylonian inscription and by Herodotus holds that Cyrus the Great was an Achaemenid. However, it has been suggested by M. Waters that Cyrus is unrelated to the Achaemenid or Darius the Great and that his family was of the Teispid, Tespin, and the Anshanite origin instead of the Achaemenid. This goes on, but I'm at the end of my study for right now. We'll pick this in. Cyrus was born to Cambyses I, king of Anshan, and Mandane, daughter of Astyages, king of Media, during the period of 600 to 599 B.C., and or 576 to 575 B.C., according to Herodotus. All right. This brings in rest of this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Dusty Roads and Sandal Feet by the Elijah Davis. A song that I've written. I believe in
Thank you.